The story of the United States, we've been taught, is fundamentally incomplete. Far from being a tale of pioneering settlers taming an empty wilderness, America's true history is one of sophisticated indigenous civilizations being systematically displaced through calculated violence. Before European arrival, North America was home to advanced societies with complex agricultural systems, extensive trade networks, and sophisticated governance structures. Approximately 40 million people lived in North America alone, nearly as many as Europe's 50 million, thriving on healthy diets centered around the three sisters of corn, beans, and squash. These weren't scattered tribes and untamed wilderness, but nations that actively shaped the landscape. They used controlled burns to create what European observers likened to English parks, developed continent-spanning road networks, and practiced advanced agriculture. The Haudenosaunee, or Iroquois, had created a constitutional democracy where women held significant political power. Clan mothers controlled the selection of male representatives and retained the right to recall them. What makes this history so challenging is recognizing that the genocide of indigenous peoples wasn't an unfortunate byproduct of progress, but the application of already developed techniques of conquest. The European colonizers brought with them a culture of violence refined through earlier colonizations of Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. When we understand these historical patterns, we see that America's founding wasn't exceptional. It was the continuation of colonial practices that transformed land from sacred space into private property and commodified human beings through slavery. The conquest of indigenous lands operated through deliberate policies and myth-making. Colonizers claimed they were acquiring unused lands from scattered peoples when they were actually displacing sophisticated networks of nations. European colonists survived by appropriating already cultivated farmland, domesticated crops, and existing transportation routes. Calvinist doctrine justified this. Colonists defined natives as immutably profane while viewing themselves as predestined to virtue, with wealth seen as evidence of divine favor. The Ulster Scots formed the core of frontier settlers, bringing experience from colonizing Northern Ireland. Their Presbyterian faith evolved on the frontier, maintaining their identity as God's chosen people building a new Israel. In settler hands, land transformed from sacred to commodity. American literature reinforced these myths. James Fenimore Cooper's Leatherstocking Tales created a new American origin story through the symbolic transfer of the continent from the last Mohican to Hawkeye, the nativized settler. This fantasy of indigenous peoples willingly dying off became the foundation of American historical identity, excluding indigenous participation except as foils for Europeans. The U.S. military's use of terms like Indian country for enemy territory reveals persistent colonialist sensibilities. This technical terminology means behind enemy lines, often shortened to in country. America's first way of war, unlimited warfare against civilians to destroy their will or capacity to resist, was developed against indigenous communities. Anglo settlers became Indian fighters, using brutal irregular warfare targeting unarmed women, children, and elders. Colonial authorities institutionalized scalp hunting, which evolved into a lucrative commercial practice that privatized violence. The first Jamestown settlers forced the Powhatan Confederacy to provide food, clothing, land, and labor. When Wahusenacock, the Confederacy's leader, pleaded for peaceful relations, John Smith threatened to kill all women and children if demands weren't met. In New England, the Puritans responded to conflict with immediate annihilation. John Mason attacked a Pequot stronghold of mostly non-combatants, slaughtering defenders and burning remaining inhabitants alive, shocking even their Narragansett allies. After the Civil War, the U.S. Army won the West with advanced weaponry and seasoned troops. They slaughtered people and buffalo while destroying the plains' natural ecosystem, replacing tall grasses with short grasses for cattle, eventually leading to devastating topsoil loss decades later. Andrew Jackson built his wealth as Tennessee's leading land speculator through Chickasaw acquisitions and established his military reputation through brutal campaigns against the Muscogee and Seminoles. Though portrayed as a champion of poor whites, his policies primarily benefited wealthy speculators and plantation owners. Upon his 1829 election, he immediately pushed removal policies, allowing Georgia to violate Cherokee sovereignty and ignore Supreme Court rulings while maintaining rhetoric about voluntary emigration. The Jacksonian era saw nearly 70,000 Native people forcibly removed from east of the Mississippi. The United States made 86 treaties with 26 indigenous nations, all forcing land cessions or removals. The Cherokee Nation resisted, declaring, "We wish to remain on the land of our fathers. We have a perfect and original right to remain without interruption or molestation." The 1838 forced removal, the Trail of Tears, began with General Scott's troops establishing stockades throughout Cherokee territory, capturing families at bayonet point. Half of the 16,000 Cherokees died during the winter march, with Muscogees and Seminoles suffering similar death rates. America's westward expansion contradicted the mythological, natural progression of covered wagons. In reality, the U.S. invaded Mexico through Veracruz with Marines, and early California colonization began from the Pacific coast. Manifest destiny served to normalize these invasions as ordained progress rather than colonialism. Despite centuries of attempted erasure, indigenous resistance has remained constant. The founding of the National Congress of American Indians in 1944 marked a surge in organized resistance, while the return of Taos Blue Lake emerged from decades of struggle and a growing self-determination movement. In 1961, 26 young activists from 21 Native nations established the National Indian Youth Council. The movement gained momentum with the 1969 seizure and 18-month occupation of Alcatraz Island by Indians of all tribes, which radicalized thousands across the continent. In February 1973, Oglala Lakota traditionalists invited the American Indian movement to oppose their authoritarian tribal chairman. After deliberations led by Russell Means, they protested at Wounded Knee, site of the 1890 massacre, resulting in a 2.5-month siege by military forces. Today, Native nations strengthen sovereignty through governance reform, creating constitutions that reflect their specific cultures. These reforms embody survivance, an active indigenous presence continuing cultural narratives beyond mere reaction to domination. The United States began as a settler state, pursuing continental occupation, with origins containing seeds of genocide. This ongoing colonization of indigenous nations enables the U.S. to project imperial power globally while portraying itself as a multicultural democracy. California's Winchester Mystery House symbolizes America's genocidal history and subconscious guilt. Sarah Winchester, widow of the rifle manufacturer whose weapons killed Plains Indians, built an elaborate mansion with architectural oddities, seemingly haunted by her husband's legacy. This mirrors America's constant search for enemies and military expansion, a nation trying to outrun its ghosts through what Richard Slotkin calls regeneration through violence. While we aren't responsible for our ancestors' actions, we are responsible for the society we inherit. Addressing this requires honoring treaties with indigenous nations, restoring sacred sites, returning stolen items, and paying reparations. We cannot build a just future without confronting our past. By acknowledging the sophisticated civilizations that preceded European arrival and the deliberate policies that sought their destruction, we begin healing historical wounds. As Acoma poet Simon Ortiz writes, "The future will not be mad with loss and waste, though the memory will be there. Eyes will become kind and deep, and the bones of this nation will mend after the revolution."